Hashem. First, I want to thank those who are sponsoring Chabuz Yosef Atzadik today, Menachem Levitz, and the Schus of the Kedusha of his son Shimon, and Yehuda, and Shmuel. They should be big Eloch Yidin and give Nachas to the whole family. Tzuriel David Ben Fegelty Paris, Schus Vatzloch, and Shmir Zainayim, Kedusha, for him, the family, and for all of us, and the Kehil, and for the Vam Yisrael. And is Rabin here? Rabin is taken upon himself. Rabin Rahmani is taken upon himself in a very big way. I'm not going to specify that right now because I want him to be here. But Zech Nishmas, his father, Rabbi Avinoam Zechron Levacha, that Rabin is taken upon big sponsorship for now and for coming years, Bez Hashem. And we'll talk more about that, and it should be an aliyah for the neshama of his father, and we should have only simcha, nachas, and bracha. Okay, let's learn. The pages that you have from Reb Matel Zilber, Zalga Zon Zayin, that we're learning, so we're on page Gimel, which is a binyan zeh, achein ba, chilek ben Yaakov le'esav. Remember, we're talking about the two psachim, the two openings into the Rebbeinu Shalom. How a Jew comes into that Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaBendrish of being an Ish Neshama, of being a real Yid. And that the two openings are Emuna and Kedusha. We've been talking about this now for months. Emuna and Kedusha. Those are the two psachim into Yiddishkeit. And we've been talking about how Davka, by these two mitzvahs of Emunah and Shemir Sabris, the Torah is very, very different when speaking about these. And on the one hand, we find that in these areas of Emunah and Kedusha, they're the biggest chumris in all of Yiddishkeit. That if a person, Chalila, Moshel, if a person is a Kaifer, if a person doesn't believe in the Yud Gimli Karm, if a person has opted out of being a Mammon, so there's no greater pagam in a person than leaving that mitzvah of Emunah. Similarly, from the Lashonis of Chazal that we find, especially in the Zohar Kaddish, there's no greater pagam to a person than pagam habris. So since these are the two openings, that if you're not doing well by the opening, everything else falls apart. If a person's Emuna is missing, Chalila, if a person's Kedusha is broken, so then Nishkan Davin, Nishkan Lenin, everything unravels. We don't need any rayas with that from Shas, from Poskim. Everybody knows himself. Then everything starts to fall apart. When Emuna and Kedusha are not thriving, then we're not thriving. And we find, because of that, we find such unbelievable chumras with these two inyanim of Emuna and Shemir Sabris. And the Lashinus when it comes to these things. The whole Sefer Dvarim is about Emuna. The whole Sefer Dvarim is going in the inyan of Emuna. In other words, the whole Sefer Dvarim is about not being an Oved Avodah Zarah. Which to us, those are psukim that we all feel good about because it's the one thing in life that we haven't messed up, right? Like everybody feels good, huh? At least that I'm okay. Avodah Zarah, Baruch Hashem, I'm not an Oved Avodah Zarah. I never would be an Oved Avodah Zarah. I'm not interested in going to church. I'm not interested in dropping in a mosque. If you hold that's Avodah Zarah, I'm just not. That's not a problem that I have. I have other issues, but I don't have Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is you're absolutely wrong. It's a big problem of Avodah Zarah. It's a problem with Emunah. And what's the nature of your Emunah? What kind of a mammon are you? But that it's not mislabish now and bowing down to a statue, or bringing some kind of a, you know, that you have no taiva to bring lunch and to give it to a little fat statue or something. So you don't. That's not your taiva. That's not now. The Avodah Zarah is not mislabish in that now. Avodah Zarah is mislabish in other things. Dal Derby says that the ikka of Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah Shemesh, which is when it comes to the Yonah of Parnasa. That a person can ignore his wife, he can ignore his children, he can ignore his learning and his davening, his whole mitzvahs in this world because of a couple of dollars. That's called serving the sun. That's called the sun worship. And It's mislabish in different things. In each generation, Avodah Zarah is mislabish. In each tikkuv, it's mislabish in different things. But Avodah Zarah, unfortunately, until the end of, until the time of as Tichla Ka'ashan, until that time when Kadosh Baruch Hu will remove this sickness of Avodah Zarah from our hearts and from the world, Avodah Zarah is very strong in the world. It's very, very strong. And when it comes to the inyan of Shemir Sabris, of Kedusha Sabris, of course, we see that now before Mashiach comes, that this is the most powerful. This is the most powerful, the strongest Nisayan. So Davke here, we are learning that Davke here, the tremendous chumris in these two areas of Emunah, Avodah Zarah, Emunah, and Kedusha and Shemir Sabris. But at the same time, and this is how Ramatul began the whole Maimer, and we've been talking about this for a while, at the same time, because of how crucial these two psachim, these two openings are in our lives, that Davka, because of that, the Rebbe Yisrael has revealed, especially through the Talmidei Baal Shem, but not only, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed, and especially to our generation, that the refuahs, the yeshuas, the cures, are relatively simple. We have to learn a lot about these cures, of how to deal with these issues. Davka when it comes to Amunah, and Davka when it comes to Kedusha Sabris. So just putting this into the context of Torah is where we're up to, is the story of Yaakov and Esav. So look on the page if you have it. If you don't have it, it's pretty easy to listen to. And I apologize if you don't have the page, just listen. Ubinyan's on page Gimel. Some of you, no? Wow. Okay.
2 weeks.
Huh?
2 weeks.
I know. The girls would all be sitting with every single page, with it, right? And the guys, it's a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. So I do. I'm the same way. So I'm not saying I'm any different. I'm exactly the same way. Half the time I walk out from the office, I don't have it with me either. I go back and get it. So I understand. Just to put into the context of Chumash, what we're talking about. Yaakov and Esav. Then Esav ha'yla Eza Yenika min ha'kedusha. Esav wasn't a simple person. He had a very strong Yenika from Kedusha. He had chashuva parents and chashuva grandparents. He had a very strong Yenika from Kedusha. Mekedusha sabachayra. In addition to that, not only does Esav have chashuva parents, but he was also the Bechor. He had the Bechorah, which to us is just like an advantage or just a mazel that you're older. No, there was Kedushas HaBechorah is a big thing, and he had that. Okay, the cause of Arizal HaPasik, Kitzayid B'Fiv. Kitzayid B'Fiv, I'm not going to go over this because everybody that learns this from knows, and over here we've spoken about this so many times over the years. Kitzayid b'fiv is not just talking about a piece of meat. Kitzayid b'fiv means that Esav had tremendous, tremendous kaiches to hunt neshamas, to bring back the world to Hashem, to go hunting, not with a bow and arrow, but to go hunting with his words. He had tremendous, tremendous kaiches. Kitzayid b'fiv. Which the Rizal talks about. Ta'ainu ashahayu b'yodun yitzayis k'daish sh'bolam ha'kedusha. Tremendous nitzaitis of Kedusha, whatever that means, that he took from the world that he had from the world of Kedusha. He was nursed by the milk of Rivki Imenu. That's what he drank, that's what he breathed, was Rivki Imenu. L'kach hayinira Esav kibchar. Therefore he was the man for the job. The Bechor is not just a privilege, it's a tafkid, it's a job. And he was the man for the job. And because of these nitzaitis that he had, that he was boleya in the milk that he drank, and in the air that he breathed, the impulse that was very powerful in him, that was pushing him closer and closer to the edge of becoming an animal, of acting, behaving like an animal, was very, very, very strong, but it was being held back was being held in check because of that powerful Kedusha. Because you all know that, and Reb Tzadik speaks about this in Tzikas HaTzadik and others in his other form a lot, that Reb Tzadik says that the Ovis were tremendous Bali Taiva. They were very, very strong and powerful people. Shlomo Melech is called Cheshek Shlomo, Shimshon HaGibur. The Kadmonim, Reb Tzadik writes, all over the Kadmonim were people of tremendous, tremendous taivas, tremendous energy. And they lived like in that place that other, it could be either this way, it can go that way. It could either go this way or that way. And they brought it into Kedusha. And they took those karakas into Kedusha. Esav was a person that if he wouldn't have become Esav, then Esav would be the Rosh of all the Tzaddikim. Yaakov wouldn't have been the Bechir HaAvos. Esav would have been the Bechir HaAvos. It's impossible for us to think like it. We don't know how to think like that. Esav would have been the Bechir HaAvos. Yaakov Avinu would have sat in the Samedrash, Yishtam Yosef HaHalim, and Esav would be hunting throughout the world to bring back the whole world to the Bar Olam. So he'd be bringing him back and taking him into the Samedrash and say, "Here, Yaakov, take this brother, you learn with this guy." Esav would be bringing them in. But he was this close to becoming a behemoth because of that energy. Like the Tanya writes in many places, that the Nefesh of Bahamas, you know, was more animated than the Nefesh of Kis. Nefesh of Kis is very edel. Godliness is very soft, it's very sweet, it's very gentle. But the Nefesh of Bahamas is very, very, very strong. We hear it talking in such a way. When you hear that voice inside your head that says, to go daven, it doesn't speak the same way when there's like a steak in front of you that you haven't eaten in a day and a half, right? It's not the same lotion. Not even the same lotion, it's not the same energy. When it comes to a taiva, there's a different nusach in your head, the way a taiva comes. And even though you like learning, you enjoy learning. But it doesn't come to you in the same way that the Nefesh Bahamas. The Nefesh Bahamas talks very, very, very plain, very strong when it comes to taivas of this world. So he had this thing inside of him to live like an animal. See, Leah may have had that inside of her as well. That's why the shidduch was made between Leah and Esav. The gadol for the gedolah, the katan, the ketana, that was a shidduch that was made in Shemayim. It was a match that was made in heaven. Leah may was supposed to marry Esav, as you all know, right? Leah was supposed to marry Esav. And Yaakov was supposed to marry Rachel. It was only by default that Yaakov had to take two worlds, the world of Rachel and Leah. L'chad chilo was supposed to be, Esav was supposed to be with Leah. And Yaakov was supposed to be the Rachel. Leah Imenu also had this. She also had this unbelievable drive and energy that could have taken her down, down, down into that place where Esav went. But instead she cried. Ad kedei kach that she lost her beauty. Any Leah Rakais from crying that she did not want to end up like Esav. That's what she was crying about. Chazal tell us. She didn't want to end up with Esav. Doesn't only mean that she didn't want to marry him, she didn't want to be like Esav. And she was able to somehow make her way into the house of Yaakov Avinu, and from Leah Imenu comes Mashiach ben David. From that turn, Reb Tzadik says, and we've spoken about this many times, Reb Tzadik says that Leah Imenu is the mother of all Bali Tshuva. All Bali Tshuva, the Eniklech of Leah Imenu. All Bali Tshuva. Rachel Imenu is the mother of all Tzadikim. All tzaddikim are Rachel Imenu, Yefasto, Yefasmara, beautiful Jews, Sheni Yidin. But all Bali Tshuva, and Bali Tshuva doesn't just mean people like now Bali Tshuva, nothing about Bali Tshuva that they weren't religious, they didn't know about it. Talk about people that a person doesn't have Aveir and brings himself back around. All Bali Tshuva are the Eniklech of Leah Imenu. All from Leah Imenu. She didn't let herself fall to that place that Esav fell. But Esav wasn't successful, and he wanted to take this world like a camel, like a donkey. When he said to such a thing that he said to his brother that he wanted, when he sold the bechira, halitainina, to shove it down my throat. He decided that, because when Esav takes from this world, he doesn't take it like a little bit, you understand? When Esav takes from this world, in other words, when that type of a person decides, I can't make it in Yiddishkeit, I can't make it in Ruchnias, that's not working for me, then his only choice is to swallow up Gashmias. To swallow up Gashmias, not to take little pieces. Just mamish to fress and to indulge in Gashmias. Pirush Rashi, Eftach pi, u'shvei charba l'saycha. You ever hear a person talk like that? I'm opening my mouth and you pour inside my mouth. Eftach pi, u'shvei charba l'saycha. Malitan is a lashon of a haliteni is like with an animal. With an animal. To pour in food like you would with an animal. She wants a lach lachila gasa b'sheit nefesh. She alitu aysai min ha'odim ha'odim azem mulay b'mulay peh. Kedusha zu shahis adayin b'yodo ikve ba'adai. Now this was cooking inside of him for years. In other words, for years he wanted to eat from this world in such a way. Just to go crazy, to fress on the world. But to Kedusha, Rivka's milk, and Rivka Yemenu's milk, and Yitzchak Avinu's presence, was something that was ma'akiv, it was holding him back. Just like you have a lot of chevra that are sitting right now in yeshiva, a lot of the boys are sitting in yeshiva, Hashem Yirachem, and they have this feeling as well. Halitanyinam. If they had an opportunity, and if God would take off for an hour or two, and no one would be watching, and no one would find out, they would also have to say, Eftach pi, let me open my mouth and pour inside this whole world into my mouth. But they're sitting in front of the Gemara, they're chuckling, but they're thinking of Halitanyina. Many of the Gechavra are sitting like that. But there's something that's ma'akiv. What's holding back was their ikuvim. What's holding back, of course, is one's upbringing and one's learning. The nefshalakis, it's holding back. So Esav had very strong minias that were holding him back from enjoying this world the way that he really wanted to enjoy the world. Now that was the turning point in his life. His turning point, Esav, this is when he lost everything. This is when he gave up and he said, I'm going to die. So what's the tachlis of having the Bukhar? I can't pull this off. Kedusha is not, it's not working for me. It's only making my life miserable. It's only making my life miserable. That was the memories of yeshiva and going to shul and putting on tefillin. All that stuff is just making me miserable because I can't fully commit to it. So it's making my life miserable because I can't live anymore being Paiseach Ashtei HaSeifim. Yesterday's have Torah. I can't live like that. I can't. So Esav says, "Hine anochi halach lomos. I'm going to die. I can't live like this." He's not the kind of person that could live in both worlds. Pesach hashnei haseifim. Esav couldn't do that. So he says, "Hine anochi halach lomos. V'lomos eli b'charis." So what's the point? What's the tachlis? I have all this kedusha that was stuffed into me, but I can't live with it. It's making me nuts. It's making me crazy. The Kedusha is making me crazy. I just want Halitaini na. I want to forget yeshiva. I want to forget my parents. I want to forget my Zaydi, my Bubby. I want to forget all this stuff. I want to forget guilt. I want to forget the Holocaust. I want to forget all that stuff. And just Halitaini na. Just give me this world. I'm opening my mouth and fill me with this world. So, that's all. Nowadays, there's a hechetimsa that people are trying to do this while still being Orthodox. They're still Orthodox. They're still trying to be Orthodox. It's an interesting thing. In other words, there's a way that people have found now not to think about any word that you're davening and not to think about any mitzvahs that you're doing and to be able to fress on the world in such a way not to be torn and not to be broken. There are people that are trying to pull that off. I don't know if anybody's successful doing that. I mean, you could. It looks like that when they're ordering food in the restaurant and when they're standing, you know, and whatever they're doing by their games in life. But they're trying to pull that off. But Esav was too sincere a person. And for Esav, he couldn't live anymore with Rivka and Yitzchak hacking him. And that didn't mean that they necessarily were hacking him the pile, but just their existence was something that made his life miserable. So lo mazel li b'chayra, what I need the b'chayra for? It's not working for me, the b'chayra. It's killing me. This Yiddishkeit thing is killing me. That's why we've always spoken about this over the years, that when you talk to chaver that are these so-called off the derech chaver, my experience talking to a lot of these guys over the years and girls is that they're the most sincere Jews I ever met in my life. They're the most sincere. And one of the things that they can't stand is our hypocrisy. They're the most sincere people. Because what they picked up on is that there are people that are, what they've watched around them are Jews that are dressed like frum people, they're acting like frum people, but they're fressing on the world like Esav. And that they're not really living that life that they're professing to believe in. And these kids are so sincere that they just can't go like that. They can't play that game of making believe that they're frum, and at the same time, indulging in some of their things that they want to in this world. They just can't go on living like that. It breaks them in two. They can't be paseh hashneis even, so what do? They just try to run away from Yiddishkeit. There's this Hasidic guy that I was talking to last summer that he was ready with earrings and all different. He had a nose ring and he already got himself a tattoo. And I asked him, tell me something. His name is Beirish. I asked him, Beirish, tell me, how long are you fry? Like, how long is this? He says, 2 weeks. He's fry. I said, boy, you got a lot done in 2 weeks. He already got himself a tattoo, Hashem Yoachim. 2 weeks. I know people that they're not from for 20 years and they still didn't get to the tattoo place. And you already got a tattoo in 2 weeks. He says, he could barely talk English, the guy. But he's already, he knew how to go to the store and say, make me some pictures on my arm. They probably, the chaver there in the tattoo place couldn't believe what they got over there with this guy. He still had marks on his ears from his payas, and he still had tefillin marks on his arm, and he's coming for a tattoo on the same arm. You can still see the tefillin marks on his arm. Well, he's not going just for a little bit chillul Shabbos, this guy, or a little texting on Shabbos. He's going big time. Full force. No, he wants the whole oilam halitainina pour it down my mouth. For 20 years, I didn't get anything in the world. They made me crazy. For 20 years in my neighborhood, in my yeshiva, they made me totally crazy. I'm starving for a couple of lentils. Whatever that lentils, whatever they are in Tav Shanai and Tess, it's much more dangerous than the lentils that Esav had. And give me halitaini, no. So the guy says, you're 2 weeks, you're Michal. He says, yeah, I started Michal Shabbos 2 weeks. He's saying, like, that's when I began my career as being a friar. 2 weeks, I'm free. Free. 2 weeks, I'm free. But he's like on a shopping spree, you understand? He's like running from one place to the next. So he got himself already nose ring, he got himself already tattoos. I said, what are you doing on Tuesday? Like, what's going on this week? Like, what other affairs can you think of? Oh, he's got a lot of stuff planned. And he's got a couple of chaverim. They got it all worked out, what they're doing for the next couple of weeks. All the stuff that they heard was their Isa, their Rabbanan. If you do this, you're a Shagitz, you're a Shagitz. Every single thing that he ever heard, he's a Shagitz. If he does, now he's going to be Fashagitz. Now he's going shopping. He's on a shopping spree. That's not coming from a low place. This Beirishel is a tzaddik of a boy. And I spoke to him for around 3 hours. He's a beautiful boy. He's filled with emun. I'm telling you, beautiful Jew. But he can't lie anymore. He feels that he's lying. He's not real, and he can't do it anymore. He says, "I'm not a kaddish. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not that because I'm poigim the this thought. I'm poigim the bris. I did this. I look at that. So what's the eitzah? So of course, I'm telling the eitzah is to understand it, like we were learning from the beginning, to take a chrayas for what you're doing. But what avalo la'ashias atzmacha? But don't make yourself into a rasha. Alti Rasha. Don't make yourself into a rush. Just work on slowly on building your life up. And you don't have to be what they told you in yeshiva does. You don't have to be such a right now. You're not ready to be such an ish kodesh, such a heilig yid. You don't have to be. Try to be just a shomer mitzvah to the best of your ability. But because of this energy that he has inside of him, he feels I can't do that. It's either this or it's that. This is the Inyan of Esav. So then, of course, v'lo mazal li b'chayra. What's the tachas of the b'chayra for a guy like me? What am I going to do with the Bechaira?
Ubekach Omer Esav ki mohus hahine mohus shel guf.
So what Esav is saying is that my mohus is the mohus of a guf. I'm just a body. I'm a guf without a soul.
Mohus shel gashmias.
That's my mohus. My whole mohus is gashmias. It's not true. Esav had tremendous, tremendous kedusha within him. But he tied himself up already as a mohus of gashmias. Just a guf.
Because he felt within him all of this bahamius, all these desires. And as we know from Chazal, he was beginning to act upon these things. He was starting to do these things. That he presented himself to his parents, like being at least his father. He presented as like a yeshiva bacher.
And then I told you already what I heard once from a svadisha, in the name of a svadisha chacham, that the bacher is, remember what the Rosh Tevis was bacher? Bayom chacham ubalayla rasha. That's the Rosh Tevis Bocher. Bayom Chacham Ubalayla Rasha. So Esav was living in such a way. Bayom Chacham, that he would come to his father asking all kinds of kashas about how to take off maestros from the salt and so on. He was coming like a yeshiva Bocher, Talmud Chacham. He's talking, learning with his father. Bayom Chacham Ubalayla, oh, Balayla, Balayla, Balayla. Something else, Balayla. Something else. And he couldn't go like that anymore. He couldn't go anymore in that world of Shnei Si'ipim, of V'yom Chacham V'layla Rosha. There's some people that could do that. And they come to davening the next day, and everything, like, you wouldn't know that there's a difference between the night and the day. They come to shul, and they walk in, they put on tefillin, and you wouldn't know what happened to this guy, what he was up to during the night. You'd have no idea. And he doesn't think about it either. But for the ones that really think about it a lot, it's very hard for them to get to shul. If you really think about it a lot, it's hard to get to shul. It's happening to a lot of the guys, the most sincere ones. It's very hard for them to get to shul.
So therefore, Esav came to the conclusion, the Vinyana Shalahu b'chinas achol v'shasoi ki morcha nomus, like it says in Navi. What am I going to do? Hina necha halach lomus. I might as well, since I don't have the next world, I might as well just eat and drink ki morcha nomus, because I'm going to die. So I might as well just get what I can out of this world.
Like Acher, like Elisha ben Avuya. That he heard a Baskel, and Baskel says, shuvu banu shem chutz me'acher. So Acher said, I was zoi, if I don't have the next world, if I have no shaykhis, then it's honey. Then I might as well enjoy my alma. I might as well enjoy this world. Because the next world is finished. It's fafalm. So all I have is this world. So I guess I'll just hali take enough from this world. Let me get what I can from this world. Because the next world I don't have anymore.
Now this, of course, is in a very, very strong and blatant way. But it's happening to chevra all of the time. It's much more subtle. That feeling of acher, that baskol, that you lost the next world, so you might as well just enjoy this world, that doesn't come like this. It comes mostly in a quiet way, in a different way. It doesn't come so strong. But the feeling is, I might as well eat and drink, because tomorrow I'm going to die.
So he had this tremendous thing. He had Kedusha's Bechaira. He had Emuna. He had Kedusha. And he sold it. He sold it for some food.
B'chdei yuchal harshlim es tavos or bahamis lelo kol moinei.
Because this way, he could indulge his nefesh or bahamis without anything holding him back. Without this b'chara being like a thorn in his eyes. A reminder. So he's able now to put this whole subject of Kedusha, to put this away. It says tefillin are not sitting there on the table anymore, and he doesn't have a picture. You know, he doesn't have a picture of the Baba Sali on the wall or something. Everything he took down, everything is gone. And now I'm just left with a chol v'shayso to eat and to drink. Gimach anomus.
Omnam ish Yisrael.
So that's something that an Esav can do. And from that time, Esav became already finished with Yiddishkeit. That's finished. And how that works in halacha, not going to talk about right now. But Esav is finished. And Esav can live. So since that time, it's possible for a goy to live in such a mitzvah. Like we're learning about in the Rav Kook Chabur from Erev Shabbos. So you can live in that world where it's to make a separation between religion and life. He can live in such a world. A guy can live in that world. He can go, he could have the President of the United States gets up and he gives a speech and he closes his eyes and he said, "And God bless America." Like at the end he ends in a religious way. And you could ask him, in all due respect, "President, like, do you live a godly life? I mean, do you feel that you're living a godly life?" So that you said it with such sincerity that may God, you know, God bless America and all that. He says, no, he believes in God, but that's not a mechayev anything. Not only is it not a mechayev, it's not a moneya. It's not mechayev him to do something, and it's not preventing him from doing anything. And he means it when he says he believes in God. I'm sure he means it. He means it. But it's not mechayev and it's not moneya. It doesn't obligate him to do something different, nor does it prevent him from doing anything that he would like to do. It's just a thing that's called, like it says on the dollar. In God we trust. That where that dollar is going to go, everybody's going to go for something good. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a mechayev, it's not a moneya. So every single person has on his head, it says, you know, "God bless America." Or in God we trust. It's not a mechayev, it's not a moneya. And a guy can live like that. And it doesn't bother him. He can live like that. Amnam Ish Yisrael. But an Ish Yisrael, a Yid. And if that's Tama Yid, Alachas Kama V'Kama, a Jew that learned in Yeshiva, and a Jew that was raised in Kedusha. Amnam Ish Yisrael, Einam Asugal Lichyas Al Derech Zeh. The outcome of us having a bris, and being Maminim B'nei Maminim, and having within us a Chiluk Al Kam Himal, the outcome of that is that a Jew is not Masugal to live this way. It's not Masugal, he can't live this way. L'kach Nemar Aleim Koyim HaHashem B'ni B'chor Yisrael. So we became the B'chor, Yaakov, and Hashem says about the Jewish people and each and every one of us, B'ni B'chor Yisrael, that each one is Hashem's B'chor. That means that Yiddishkeit makes us crazy. Makes us crazy. Can't live it, can't live with it, can't live without it. Like by the grammar, they say that about a girlfriend, right? But by us, it's with the Yiddishkeit. I can't live with it, and I can't live without it. I can't live with it, I can't live without it. I can't live with it, it makes me crazy. Every single second, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of what I'm supposed to be and I'm not. But then I try to get rid of it, and it keeps on coming after me. It keeps on coming after me. Pirush Rashi. So Rashi says over there by Bnei B'chor Yisrael, Rashi says, Umed Roshai, Kan Chosam HaKadosh Baruch Al Mechiras HaBechiras HaLokach Yaakov Me'esav. Here's Hashem's finally, Hashem signs off on the completion of the deal that Yaakov bought the Bechira from Esav, and now the Shtar is signed. When? Bnei B'chor Yisrael. And ever since that time, ever since Pesach, whatever, Bnei B'chor Yisrael, Pesach is what? B'damai chayi, b'damai chayi, dam bris, dam mila, dam Pesach is what? Emuna. Ever since Pesach, that first Pesach, was stuck. It's gewaldig if you, it's great, but it makes us crazy. Because we can't divide ourselves into two. And when we do, we become broken people. We can't break ourselves in two. It's not natural for us. A Jew is not mesugal to live that way. A Jew is not mesugal to say haliteni na, to stuff himself like Esav in this world, and at the same time to get up and put on talis and tefillin. I was coming back from Israel last week, and I was sitting next to a fellow that comes from above of a family, and we were talking for a long time. A very, very sweet and special person, a very, very special person. And he was, and we were talking about these inyanim a little bit. And he was sharing with me how there was a time in his life where he tried very much, like, to break out of what he was, of the mold that he was cast into. And he said that he couldn't break out of that, and that he made a decision that he's going to his credit, he made a decision. He's going to try to understand it instead of running away. He's going to try to understand it. And he realized, he said, what he told me, he realized is that I'm not going to become, my father wanted him to become the next Sanzeruv, right?
He said, I realize I'm not going to be the next Anzirov. It's not my thing. But I have a good head for business. And he said, and I'm going to give lots of money to help Jews. I'm going to spend the rest of my life helping Jews. And that's what this guy's doing. And when he made that decision, and he accepted he's not going to be the Sanjurov, by the way, the Sanjurov also gave a lot of money. But when he made the decision that I don't have to be the Sanjurov. My father's hacking me that I have to be the Sanjurov because I'm a smart guy and I was good in learning. But I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. So he said, when I made the decision that I don't have to be the Divrei Chaim, and I could still somehow be a good Jew in Hashem's eyes, he said, when I made that decision, so. And he said, I made that decision. He's making a lot of money, this guy, and he's doing things to help people all over the place. And that's why he came to Israel. He came to Israel for a day to be Mesamech, some Yosem that he made a chasna for Yosem, you understand? He made a chasna for Yosem. He's paid for the whole chasna, this guy. He paid for the whole chasna, and he came with a shtreimel to be by the chasna of this Yosem that he married off. And he told me not to show up because we were talking. He said, and he got them also a beautiful dira. He bought them an apartment. Tell me, this is not a holy Jew? And if you talk to him, he makes himself like he's a nothing. He's going, he left his work, he left his family, he's going back and forth, he didn't sleep at all. He went to the chasna, put on the shtreimel that he's a mechutin by this chasna, and he bought these kids a dira, and he got them a dira with furniture, with everything, and then he's going back to America. You would never, ever in a million years know that this guy, what he's up to, that the mischief that this guy is involved in, what the mitzvahs that this guy is doing, you would never know what mitzvahs he's doing. When he let go of the Divrei Chaim narrative, you know the Sanjurov of his father's narrative? His father was very angry at him. His father didn't come to his chasen, he told me. His father didn't come to his chasen. Because he didn't marry the way that the father wanted him to marry. His father didn't come to the chasen. He said, they made up now over the years, they made up. But his father wanted him to be the Divrei Chaim, and he wasn't the Divrei Chaim. But he's giving a lot of other people the opportunity made to become the Divrei Chaim, but he himself is not the Divrei Chaim. He's a tzaddik. The Baruch Shalom is all different kinds of tzaddikim. He's one of these tzaddikim. B'ni Bukhari Yisrael. V'inyin chasim azu. Chasim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Shalom signed his name. On every one of us, Hashem signed his name. And by each one of us, it says your name. And it says B'ni Bukhari. Then it says your name. B'ni, B'chayri, and then your name. That's how Hashem's signed for each one of us. B'ni, B'chayri, and your name. B'ni chasim azu ha shekedushas ha b'chayri shaklai yisrael hina kedova achosam she'iev sha'oid l'shana yisai. Now that's a big covet to have the Baruch Shalom sign on each one of us, B'ni B'chayri. But what that made us into people that not only have unbelievable capacity for holiness, but it also made us people who can never ever come to terms with halitanina, with stuffing ourselves on this world like Esav. We can never come to terms with it. She evsha oid l'shana yisai. The klai yisrael yeshlam kedushas b'chayre ba'atzmiyusa. Every Jew has kedushas ha-b'chayre, kedushas ha-bris. Every Jew is a shema ha-bris be'etzem, and every Jew is a mamin be'etzem. Every one of us is a Shema HaBris. No matter how many times a person Chalil was Pagim, every Jew is a Shema HaBris. And every Jew is a Mamin Be'etzim. Be'etzim, in the essence of who we are, which makes it impossible for us to enjoy the opposite of Emunah, or the opposite of Kedushas HaBris, and to be happy, and to feel fulfilled, and to be able to see ourselves as living a meaningful, real life. V'yeshel HaMo'od L'machra. Now, there's already the chasima, so we can't sell it anymore. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. We can't sell it. It's finished. It's ours. Done. There are many Jews who would like to sell it. Esav sold it. But ever since B'nei B'chayri sold, Chasim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the chasima. Ever since Hashem Yisbach signed it, and we signed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'nei B'chayri sold, ever since then, a Jew cannot sell it. You could convert. God forbid, a Jew can convert. And a Jew can eat nevelos and treifas. And Chalila, he could marry out. All of these things. And he thinks that he sold the Bukhari, he can't. And he has the same din in Shemaim as every other Jew. And he gets online, just like they had to get online. They also had to wear yellow stars a couple of years ago, right? and he gets online with the rest of the Jews, and he says, "But I'm not the Bechor." So Eichmann and Hitler and Machshamam, they said, "You're still the Bechor. By us, we hold you the Bechor. We hold you the Bechor." But I sold the Bechor. It's not it. So Hitler and Machshamam said that after it says B'ni Bechor Yisrael, he says, "You don't learn Rashi." Hitler says, "You didn't learn Rashi." He says B'Ferish and Rashi. That Chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Baruch Shalom signed the star that you're a Bechor. You can't sell it. But I'm going to church for the last 50 years. I belong to the Nazi youth, the Pirchei Nazi I belong to. I belong to the youth organization, whatever. So Hitler says, no, it's B'Ferish Rashi. It's a chesim, you sign. It's a signature. And then he says, I signed that? And he says, yeah, that's your signature. Yeah, that's my signature. I'm a Bechor. Yeah. So it makes no difference. You went to church. It makes no difference. You did this, you did that. You're a Yid. And you're a Yid. Einem mesugalim luchias keisav. Einem mesugalim luchias keisav. And he says, just let's finish this paragraph. Ze inyin yitzias mitzrayim, uch inyin dekseiv, upasach Hashem la Pesach. So it says by Pesach that Hashem pasach, Hashem pasach, Hashem, whatever, Hashem passed over the openings of Jews where the mezuzahs were. Pirush Rashi, Pasach is a lashon which Targum says is v'chomal. Pasach means chomal. Chomal is chemla, means rachmonis. V'cheinu b'zor HaKadosh. Hashem went to a Jewish home, and there was a mezuzah, and there was the blood, and chomal. Hashem had rachmonis, and he went weiter past that house. But what does it mean at a deeper level? B'zor HaKadosh, tahaynu, asher Hashem is v'chomal, chomal v'richem ala Pesach, Asher al yodo nechnosim al kedusha. Hashem has rachmanis by the Pesach of a Jew. When Hashem's Baruch sees that there's a Jew, Klai Yisrael Yitzchus Mitzrayim, b'schus dam Pesach and dam Mila. Hashem's rachmanis when he sees a Jew who's struggling with his emuna and with kedusha sabris. Hashem has rachmanis v'chomal. Hashem forever has rachmanis on a Jew because he engraved us with emuna and with kedusha, and he has rachmanis. Dam Pesach hu inyan emuna, v'dam milah hu inyan shmiras habris. In the shnei pesachim and all the two openings that we learned about, asher behem nechnosim al kedusha, the two openings to kedusha. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is la'idach min anidach, Hashem does everything with us in our lives that we shouldn't let go, that we shouldn't be messiahs, that we shouldn't become, God forbid, like Esav. Hashem is trying all kinds of things, all kinds of strategies with us in our lives that we should be able to hold on. Because chom al Hashem ala Pesach. Because Hashem has rachmanis on that, on what? On the emunah that he signed. And the kedusha, Hashem signed his name, B'nei Bechor Yisrael, and Hashem has rachmanis. And he's worried about us. He's worried about us that we're not living by the shtar of Bina Bechor Yisrael. Hashem is worried about us. He has rachmanis, and he sends all kinds of things to bring us back, that we shouldn't chalil let go of our amun, that we shouldn't let go of kedusha sabris, because Hashem's name is on the shtar. It says Yisrael Hashem Bechor Yisrael, that Baruch Shalom signed his name on each one of us. He signed his name. And that's why if a person wasn't gemalt, if he doesn't have a bris, he can't, if he's an oral, he can't bring the carbon pesach. That with these two psachim, that's how we left Mitzrayim. Pesach is these two psachim. Chomel Hashem ala Pesach. That's why Hashem took us out. That we left that world of Mitzrayim, that from that time and on, we'd be able to live lives of B'ni Bechor Yisrael. But the beginning is for a Jew to know that and to believe that within himself, B'ni Bechor Yisrael. And then Ramat will go on, we'll continue next week, to explain that because of this, and if a person lives with this understanding, then he's able to accept, on the one hand, the very scary chumras when it comes to Pagam HaBris, but not to chalila be turned off or turned away by that, but adrava, to make good and healthy use of the cure, of the antidotes that Hashem Yisbarach has revealed through the tzaddikim, especially through the end of time, the tzaddikim at the end of time, of how each one of us can be shomrei ha-pesach. We could guard that gate or those gates of our lives.